I still go to arcades, well, an arcade, because Round 1 exists near me. Atari is hyping up bringing life back to arcades. Partnered with Allen 1, their new cabinets are planned to integrate redemption and local arcade competition featuring notifications to your phone if your high score has been toppled. A nice addition if the arcade has good prizes and the game is worth playing. I'm interested, but we'll try not to let my brain get ahead of reality. Give life back to arcades. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this story and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 996 of our show for tonight, March the 17th of 2024. Happy St. Patrick's Day to those of you out there that celebrate it, or as some people call it, happy straight pride, because that's also what today is for some people. Y'all asked when straight pride. Here you go. It's today. Congratulations. Have fun. Don't drink and drive. All right. Anyway, my name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here joining you every week with my co-host. Say hello first off to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
So there's actually a tradition that not a lot of people know about for St. Patrick's Day. If you are Catholic, you wear green. If you are Protestant, you wear orange.
Oh, really? Are we Protestant Lounge Radio then tonight, or what?
This bitch is goth and Jewish as fuck. I'm wearing black.
I was like, I'm not wearing any green today. In fact, I'm actually wearing one of the old Vogue Network shirts because I love this jersey.
Just ask yourself, would Dolores do it?
Well, what I'm asking myself is maybe I want to be pinched. Have you all ever thought about that? Anyway.
I'd be like, would Dolores do it?
Would Dorothy's
Bornak
do
it? I'm in the middle of Stinging Zombie.
Would Dorothy's Bornak do it?
No. Dolores, as in the lead singer of the Cranberries.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Would Dolores do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Would Sinead do it?
Also say hello, of course, to the one and only Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
I love your throwback video tonight, because, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night, holiday or not, at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, V-O-G Network, at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And if you are watching us live, sometimes we have cute little things going on in the background, like Dark Sakura exists as a cartoon character in Super Metroid. She is the last Metroid in captivity live during
bullshit
the show.
Bullshit, I'm in captivity.
But Loki,
I'm letting those tentacles go free.
Loki likes to have some video game footage, of course, appropriately, running behind him as we tape live. And tonight is the one and only fantastic Super Mario RPG. What brought this?
The remake.
Oh, this is
because I've run out of games.
You know what's sad? I still have not gotten around to the remake. Still.
It's a technicality because I haven't done this one yet.
Okay, fair enough. All good. Well, anyway, I hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. Thank you, as always, for being here for us taping our show. Yeah, we are only 4 episodes away from episode 1,000. I don't want to set the bar too high. We do not have some stunt AAA guest, or excuse me, quadruple A guest on the show or anything like that coming. We're not that kind of operation, but we're going to celebrate, you all, really, is what's made this show great over the last 1,000 episodes. So we have some ideas that we're brewing. Expect some cute winks and nods. That's what you can expect for episode 1,000. Cute winks and nods. I'm just excited and hoping a lot of you will turn out here for episode number 1,000. That'll be about 4 weeks away. But in the meantime, we're still doing what we do here every week, as we've done it since 2002, talking about video games, gaming culture, gamer lifestyle, with the occasional tangent train. Just the occasional spare
usage
a tangent train that goes somewhere completely fucking different. So anyway, we'll see what happens tonight. But let's get into some gaming news. And we're going to start off with Loki kicking us off tonight. I got to say, though, I'm just going to be real. I don't think this would have been the kickoff topic any other week. The news feels very, I don't, as it has been for the last couple of weeks,
light.
It feels very sparse. Yeah. I don't know what's up with that. I don't feel like this time of year is very light on video game news, but I feel, and it's not to say there isn't anything going on, because of course we still have a bunch of things to talk about, but I don't feel like we've been getting big announcements. And maybe that was all of us anticipating a Switch successor getting announced by now, because, you know, hypothetically that should have been announced by now, but, you know, we've all heard the rumors about the 2025 delay, which seems more and more likely at this point. So I don't know, did everybody else move their stuff to, but this time of year is feeling very barren when it comes to a lot of the big headlines. But that's not to say there aren't things making headlines, including one of the big announcement shows we can expect in a few months, right, Loki?
Right, yeah. So basically, Jeff Keighley is in the spotlight right now just because of people were expecting him to make a comment about all the different, you know, layoffs that have been going on in the industry. They were hoping, I think, that that would happen during the Game Awards. But I could understand why that didn't, because of, you know, the game company's involvement with the Game Awards. But in the case, he's made a comment 3 months later, I guess, saying, you know, hey, it's a heartbreaking time in the gaming industry with layoffs impacting developers who bring us joy. So I wanted to signal boost Amir Savat, and he's built a directory of 6,800 plus job candidates, 2,100 mentors, and even mock interview matchmaking. And then link to the website. Great. Glad you're doing that now. But, you know, I think folks are hoping that he would make more of a statement about it earlier on. I just don't know what really one person can do.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not sure what the expectation was. Well, I can say this because I want to be fair, too, is that, you know, I don't want to make it sound like, oh, he can't do anything. He is in a tricky position, though. He is right now. He's the gaming industry's hype person, right? He's big time the gaming industry's hype person. And in order to be able to do that successfully and get the announcements, he can't like go around burning all his bridges and say like, oh, man, EA fucked up and now has to lay off these people. That sucks for EA, because that the realistic, whether you like it or not, the realistic answer to that is that then that maybe potentially makes EA more hesitant to work with him because he might say something crappy. So I understand people's frustrations. I do like what he did, elevating a resource for people seeking jobs. And I do feel like he could have done that sooner. Like, he didn't have to talk bad about the industry. He could have elevated these types of resources sooner. That part I will agree with. But I'm not sure otherwise what people realistically expected him to do. He can't call out companies. He's not in a position to be able to do that. But yes, he should have been elevating these sorts of things sooner.
Has to play that political game.
Yeah.
Certainly. And I'm not sure if necessarily he's, made any sort of comments, kind of like, you know, you can still make comments about the situation without like outright saying, you know, well, game companies, you got to do better, you know. Like, he could have been like, hey, I'm disappointed to see all these layoffs going on in the industry, you know, type of, well, you could have said that, I guess.
Yeah, and he did say, and I think part of what kind of set the expectation for that was the year at the Game Awards where he opened it up condemning, you know, a lot of the bullshit that was going on in the industry at the time with, you know, anti-minority stuff and, you know, the horrible culture that people like Bobby Kotick were enabling when they were at the heads of the companies and stuff, right? So he did come out and speak out against that. And I think ever since then, there's been an expectation, oh, he's going to open the Game Awards every year speaking out against something. But that's not really, like, again, I think it also just goes to show how important that message was to do that particular year. And that's not to say these other messages aren't important, but at the same time, he can't start off the Game Awards every single year with a downer, or else people are going to be less likely to work with him. And that's the, again, it's Dark Socrates used the word political. That's what it is. It sucks, but it's what it is.
He also did announce a day later that Summer Games Fest is going to be coming this year, June 7th at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And also that live tickets are available if you want to see that live in person at the, I believe it's YouTube Theater in Los Angeles. So it's happening
again.
Can
that theater stick with a name? Jesus, that's the same one that was like the Microsoft Theater, right? And then it was the, it was something else not that long ago too. And now it's the fucking YouTube
Theater.
Jeez, all right. the name just won't stick. That reminds me of y'all. Cool. Y'all have heard me rant about Arco Arena on this show, right? Our local sports stadium, or former sports. It is now a pile of rubble, forever in our hearts. Arco Arena. The beam from the Sacramento Kings comes from a brand new arena that's downtown. But you know, you always hear me talk about Arco Arena. So at some point, and that place was called Arco Arena, which Arco is a big gas station thing, if you didn't know, for 20 years. And then one day they decided to change the naming rights to, Power Balance Pavilion, which is the stupidest name I've ever heard. Because you know what? Do you remember what Power Balance was?
The shoes?
It was those fucking bracelets. You remember the bracelets that were supposed to like bring you, I don't know what the fuck it was supposed to do, but they're obviously all a ripoff. And somehow that company sponsored the fucking sports arena, which shows you how broke the Kings were at the time. So there was that. And then it was Sleep Train for a hot minute until Mattress Firm bought them and the thing. So that place kept changing names too. And I was like, they're never going to call this anything but Arco Arena ever. Ever. Anyway, I am being corrected. Bob Coffey is pointing out that the Microsoft Theater is now the Peacock Theater. Ah, I thought that was now the YouTube Theater, that same one. Okay, so I'm being corrected. The YouTube Theater is near the Rams Stadium in Inglewood. My bad. So it isn't. And do you know why I assumed that? Because that would have been the location that was prime spot for E3, right? That was the LA Live that they had built just next door, basically, to the convention center. So I made that assumption that it was there because that's where E3 had always been. But I suppose now that there's no beholdenness to E3, they can get a cheaper venue out in Inglewood, I guess. So maybe with better parking. But I don't know. I don't know the situation down there. So, and I doubt I'll be able to go to this. So
the Ouya Theater? What?
The Ouya Theater.
The Phantom Theater.
The N-Gage Theater presents.
Nokia presents the N-Gage Theater.
That's where this show is broadcast live from, the N-Gage Studio. Anyway. Well, Summer Game Fest should be interesting this year. I feel like there's a lot of holiday things we really have no inclination about at this point. I feel like we're going to get a lot of interesting surprises. And the fact that there is no more of this, like, E3's specter kind of, like, roaming around, like a weekend at Bernie's. E3 Bernie is not, like, roaming around placing the shadow on the thing. What I mean by that is that I think there's going to be a lot of companies that time big announcements with Summer Game Fest, as kind of used to be done with E3. So I kind of expect, and I don't want to set the bar too high, but I sort of expect the Summer Game Fest, it already had some decently sized announcements, but I think it's going to get way bigger this year without any sort of E3 formal thing or figment of imagination. That's not to say we will probably also have a Microsoft event around that time. We will probably have a Sony event and a Nintendo Direct around that time. But I feel like we're going to get a lot bigger announcements out of Summer Game Fest than we usually get. So this will be very interesting. And what's also interesting about this is there's no awards. So we don't have to worry about this whole thing where people are always like, why do they cut the runtime on the speeches and they do all this thing? There's no awards to distract from the game announcements, which, and don't get me wrong, I love the Game Awards. But how many of you that were complaining about that tuned into the DICE Awards? I can tell you, not nearly as many, because there weren't as many people live on Twitch watching the DICE Awards as there were the Game Awards. But I digress. So Summer Game Fest is, you know, all the announcement stuff without having to compete with the awards thing. So it'll be interesting. If Kojima takes a 15-minute segment, then so be it. Though I would think, interestingly enough, as a backlash to the last thing, I think Kojima's presence will be minimal. I think there'll be maybe an update trailer or something, maybe like a Death Stranding 2.
Another Death Stranding 2 trailer? Oh, joy.
Release date, maybe? Trailer?
I just, like, just show me the game, tell me that's coming out, and then, like, have the game come out. Like, I don't need, like, 50 different trailers and teasers for this game to come out. Like, I just don't care.
Well, I've always called this the No Man's Sky syndrome. This was the problem with No Man's Sky, period. How long did they tease that game? And every time they teased it, they had to show something new. And then it ended up being these half-baked conceptual ideas that weren't ready yet. Now, obviously, the game is in a much different place now. We all know that. And the things that they promised originally, they've now delivered on, you know, all this time later. But at the time, it was a disaster express. And it was too much hype. Hurt the game. Yep. And I think that's something I feel like the industry still hasn't figured out, is that too much hype for your game can actually be counterproductive. I don't think the game industry has really learned that yet. Because I do feel like there's some games where I'm like, oh, enough already. God, I'm sick of all these trailers.
Well, considering too, when we're talking in the scene of, oh, my game's not profitable. Oh, it's AAA or quadruple A. You know, we're spending so much money on this. Well, maybe advertise it a whole hell of a lot less 4 years in advance of it coming out. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Like, does it matter that I'm hyped up for Death Stranding 2 now if it doesn't come out until like the end of the next year or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't matter. Like, who cares? Stop wasting money.
Anyway, so yeah, a lot of announcements. Yeah, I feel like a lot of news maybe we'd be talking about now. I guess we're going to have to wait for Summer Game Fest to hear instead. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. And it'll be interesting to see how Jeff Keighley kind of continues to navigate this fine line of don't piss off the industry, but also support the people working in the industry. Right? So, he doesn't have an easy job. I don't envy him. E3VL mentions Grand Theft Auto 6. Maybe, you know, that's obviously a huge game.
I mean, that's
looming.
Eventually coming out, yeah. Whenever, you know.
Eventually. When it's good and done and not a moment sooner. Anyway, let's talk about the types of video games we've been playing this week in a segment we call How Was Your Gaming Week? And Dark Sakura, will go to you. How was your gaming week?
It was all right. It's been a busy week with training at work. Mm-hmm. But I did play some Dead by Daylight with Fixie, and it was pretty fun. I got the new DLC came out, so of course I adapted Sable. I probably am going to be working on the Unknown tonight, the new killer, although I still refer to it as Nobody the Cheerleader. Because I'm totally playing. Did you know that the voice actor for the Unknown is a transgender woman?
Yep.
Who is doing both the male and female. Well, I know you know, but
yeah.
You, but
and who's, who's
but is
actually
doing the,
has a specialty trained voice acting to do that. Yes.
As I was going to say.
Sorry.
I think that that's really awesome. And also I think today I watched a video by Mintskull, who's someone I generally enjoy his videos, who really went off on the people who are being complete transphobes over this. So fuck you if you were a transphobe.
Well,
you know,
there was a weird little bump in the road because she apparently took some issue with some things behavior did. I'm not going to go into detail because she ended up deleting whatever she had posted.
I have the post.
Yeah, but
I have a picture of it.
She asked for it to be pulled, so I'm not going to repeat it. So but no. There's
but it didn't even sound to me like it was anything that completely about treatment.
Yeah,
it was more of a lack of information.
Yeah.
So she did the job she was supposed to do with the information that she was given.
Mm-hmm.
Not her fault. No problem at all.
Yeah.
But one thing that I've always thought, especially in more recent years, is that behavior has become a lot more inclusive in terms, although I would still like for them to have an official ace person other than someone just named ace. But anyway, going back to that, I played a lot of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, and there was a lot of cussing. And last night, I started the Japanese Dracula X Nocturne in the Moonlight for Sega Saturn.
I wanted to see that, but I was out last night.
Well, I played a little bit longer than intended, and Dan was actually in the chat telling me which direction to go in.
Oh, that's funny.
And telling me to do double jumps when I hadn't gotten the gravity boots yet. And although he did help me with a part that I was having a problem on with this one thing, is I had forgotten where the jeweled fist was. So he helped me get through that, and I absolutely love that game. And as far as, I mean, I just love side quests, I guess. I like going around and finding stuff and making my own fun and just kind of getting lost and immersed in the universe. Like, I was finding every chair that I could sit in and, you know, doing poses and all kinds of stuff. And also, that's kind of what I've been doing in Avatar as well, is I've just been running around. I put the main game on hold so that I could go and do a bunch of side quests and get into the lore and learn a little bit about, like, my character's clan and you know, try to bring people together, because in the middle of doing so, I'm also getting her quite leveled up and having a fun time doing it. So I was also... Wednesday years old when I found out that if you fly your Ikran through a swarm of insects, she'll eat them and regain stamina.
That's funny.
So that was kind of a fun thing. I was like, and I've actually, my new favorite hobby is shooting down helicopters. It's pretty fun. You just aim for the little rotors, because, you know, their helicopter things have their rotors on either side, kind of like weird wings. Mm-hmm. And if you shoot them, they'll insta-boom. You can also throw mines at them, and the mines will explode and also burn everybody inside, and that's really fun, too.
Are those the VTOLs from the first movie?
Yeah, the Samson. VTOL, yeah, they're a VTOL, but they, like the double thing helicopter, the Samson, whatever they call them. Yeah, but, and they also have, like, huge carriers that's got the, you know, like the big one that they were going to bomb the tree with in the first movie. You can find those, and those are harder to take down, but they're so satisfying when you do. I'm just having a great time with this game. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I didn't think that I was going to like it as much as I do, but I super love it. So anyway.
Great. All right. Well, if that's it for your gaming week, we will head on over to Loki, your gaming week.
So I did play something other than Minecraft. It was mostly Minecraft. It was like 99.9% Minecraft and then 1% Control Freak. So Control Freak, the best way to describe it is a NCIS hacking sim. So, you know that television show with the really poor portrayal of how hacking works? Mm-hmm. It's essentially a game where you smash the keyboard as fast as you can to hack. And you have to, like, click on things and hack stuff. And you can type in keywords and it does different things. It's silly and stupid and great. Because it has all the, you know, the hacker, like, code going up the screen for no reason whatsoever. You know, none of it makes any sense. But it's just silly and fun. And I've been looking forward to it for a long time. Finally came out this week. Had to pick it up. It's like $5. I think it's even on sale now, so it's like four and change. Definitely worth checking out for just a silly little game. And then Minecraft putting out an episode this week. And then I've been just working on designing some more things. Still working on the theme park thing. The ride's going to take a long time because I've actually had to have code written for it to get it to work. I am still working on the design of it, but in the meantime, I'm working on stuff in the base. I've got a massive super smelter coming out in the next episode, which is, it's ridiculously large and overpowered. And, we did a live stream, weekend, for Channel 64 yesterday. So that was fun. But yeah, I'm going to try to get an episode out maybe this week. And then hopefully I have another one already planned for, next week. Or the week after that, I guess. And then hopefully by that time, I'm hoping to take a couple days off from work so I can just really get down to this ride. Because it is, the reason it's taking so long is so, well, first off, it's huge. And it's incredibly detailed. Like, the type of detail that Disney would put into a dark ride, I am going through the same process to create this in Minecraft. So it's, there's a lot of work that's involved with it, including like custom models. So it's 3D modeling. There's custom code being written because their Minecraft boats suck and they don't turn with the water. So I have to write something to do that for me. You know, all that type of stuff. But it's going to be amazing when it comes out.
All right.
Eventually.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Also, I wanted to mention, because I thought I saw you had crossed a milestone on your stream, right? Didn't you cross?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
200,000 views or something?
Yeah, 200,000 views on my channel.
Congrats. That's so great.
Yeah. Good for you. Pretty good.
All right. Let's see. My gaming week. So a lot of similar things I usually do. I play, you know, Final Fantasy 14. Still was playing Diablo 4. I actually played a lot more No Man's Sky because I was really fixated on finishing this expedition, which I had until today. So today was the deadline to finish the expedition before it's disabled and done, and everything reverts to the general save. I finished it yesterday. So I finished it with hours to spare. I had streamed a good chunk of my playthrough, but I did finish it off stream because I was playing at weird hours. But I really enjoyed this Expedition No Man's Sky. I actually think probably next to Expedition 2, which was the secret Mass Effect one, they didn't tell you when that expedition first came out that you would unlock the Normandy at the end. There were hints, and it was one of those things where it really made sense. And I really feel like the way they executed that, it was just the best. Like, that was the best expedition they ever did. Next to that, this one I actually think was probably the best expedition they've had because it was really a little bit of everything, except I would say space combat was like the one thing you didn't have to do in this expedition. You did have to do ground combat, but they gave you a ridiculously overpowered weapon to help you through it. That honestly, like, I barely took any damage doing it. And so I was really, yeah, impressed. And I thought this was a really good sort of like aligning you with the game's features, like building a basic kind of base and getting a really good ship and how to look for different things. I thought it was a really good like tutorial and kickstart mission. And that's why I'm kind of like, why does it have to end today? That's my one kind of thing I don't get with No Man's Sky, and maybe my feedback for Hello Games, is I don't understand why these expeditions are so short-lived, especially one that does such a good job that robustly like shows different features of the game. This is a great catch-up thing for a lot of people to be able to catch up on some of the things they've missed. I mean, they don't get into everything because, again, like the outposts that randomly spawn on planets and things like that, they don't get into quite everything. But even like the pirate galaxies are addressed, how to make the red drive and the blue drive to get to the different stars. Like, a lot of it really kind of lays it all out. So I don't understand. And maybe that would be a feature I'd like to see in No Man's Sky at some point, especially if they have the expeditions that are launchable from the hub now. Why not play the expeditions at any time? But I understand there's got to be a certain amount of, you know, the exclusiveness of the cosmetics. If, you know, they're available at any time, then it makes it less attractive to do. So I understand they kind of want to filter at a certain time, and then it helps boost buzz and the streaming because they do the Twitch drops and stuff. So I do understand there's a certain amount of publicity tweaking that's coming into it as well. But especially with some of the old expeditions that were never available on Switch, just turn them on. Just let people revisit them whenever they want. You know, like, they're years old at this point, especially if they're not coming back. I don't know. That's my take on it. Or at least let these things run for a few months. If No Man's Sky puts out a patch tomorrow, which they darn well might, like, at the rate they do things, they very well might. So if Hello Games puts out a patch for No Man's Sky tomorrow, then I'll be like, oh, okay, that's why it was closed when they did, because they were about to launch something else. But if that doesn't happen, I would have been like, why not just leave it open until you're ready to roll out the next patch? Like, 6 weeks is really not a lot of time. When all's said and done. Anyway, I'll stop harping on that because otherwise I loved the multi-tool that you unlock from this expedition is a giant staff. So now your character takes a big staff around. It just looks awesome. I was really into it. This game keeps hitting new high points, which there's not a lot of video games where you can say that about, you know, years and years.
It's kind of got me psyched for the next one.
It does. And I
Light No Fire because, like, or what was it?
Yeah, is Light No Fire. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Because, like, I dig the Skyrim type vibe, and, you know, the fact that they keep adding stuff to it, like, that sounds really cool.
Well, here's the thing. I wonder if now that the world has forgiven Hello Games with No Man's Sky, I wonder if Light No Fire is going to be their way to say, oh, now we can do DLC. Now we can do a battle pass. now we can do, because that's what these expeditions feel like. They're battle passes. You play a certain amount and do certain things. You unlock cosmetics. That's what a fucking battle pass is, right? So I wonder if Light No Fire, I think some of these things we've been used to with No Man's Sky, I wonder if Light No Fire isn't going to go back to a little more of what we expect. And maybe, you know what, maybe I'm being unfair to Hello Games. We'll find out when we find out, but I can't help but feel like, you know what, when they put out Light No Fire, they're probably going to start charging for a lot of the things that we see a lot of games charging for now, because Hello Games doesn't have to apologize anymore. They've made up for what happened 7 years ago.
I don't think they have to apologize anymore right now either. I think they've long made up for all that stuff. I don't know. Like, and I think even if they put out stuff as paid DLC, I think people would play it. I think maybe there may be a, it may be hard to do that being that it is an online game and to like have certain exclusory content aside from like cosmetics would be very difficult for them to do. I don't know.
YYR in chat says 77% positive reviews on the Steam page for No Man's Sky. Sounds like they've been forgiven to me. Yep. And they consistently get nominated for awards for like best ongoing game. It's always like that. Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, like these just games that, you know, very big games that keep going. But No Man's Sky is always still in that conversation all these years later. Questbuster says, I feel that while people remember how Hello Games was raked over the coals years ago, they now hold up No Man's Sky as going above and beyond what anyone expected. Oh, absolutely. Which is why maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised and Light No Fire kind of continues this trend, because there's also a part of me that looks at this and goes, you know what? No Man's Sky is still selling copies. I think No Man's Sky, I don't know, and I don't have the facts to back it up, but just my gut tells me a lot of people still bought that on the Switch, even though they may have had it on another platform or just they were buying into it. So like, I feel like because No Man's Sky keeps evolving to the new platforms, people are still buying the game. And maybe there's a certain math to that where it's like, you know what? As long as we keep selling copies of the game, we're still making the money we need to make. And maybe that's what will happen with Light No Fire. I don't know. We'll see.
And also, at least with that, like the expectation is, you know, they're not building all this from scratch anymore. They have the engine essentially for this.
Yeah.
So it should be certainly more solid than it was.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Anyway. So that's really it. I will say though, I've been doing a lot. You all know I do GPS and AR gaming. Pokemon Go had a community day this weekend, so I caught some Litten shinies when I was out. And then we had a big Ingress event in the Bay Area on Friday night. So I actually went over there with some of my Ingress friends. There was basically a live battle taking place in downtown Berkeley with what's called flash shards, and it lasted for the actual event was an hour, but there's, you know, prep work and secret things that go into it. So that was all happening, and I want to say there was probably about 100 agents that turned out in person in Berkeley.
Wow,
for this,
that's
still pretty impressive. I mean, that's pretty much NorCal's representation, but that's still pretty good. Because they had a similar event in Pasadena. I think Vancouver, Canada had one the same night. I think there was a city in Arizona. So there was a lot of different sites that were having these flash start events. So, but yeah, drawing in 100 people on a Friday night with 2 weeks notice is still pretty darn good. So that was a good turnout. And then I've been playing Monster Hunter Now, also Niantic. And I got to say, I've been really impressed with how this game is coming along. This game is a lot of fun to play with other people. It runs really smooth. I would say if you're into Pokemon Go and you haven't checked out Monster Hunter Now yet, you really should. Like, it's a really smooth, it runs very well. They just did a seasonal update where they added new monsters, I guess, from, and here's the funny thing. And this is similar to Pikmin, right? I like Pikmin Bloom. Don't really care for the Pikmin console games. Monster Hunter Now. I don't care for the Monster Hunter console games. I don't. I've tried. I just don't get into them. But Monster Hunter Now, I think it's a hell of a lot of fun. And, you know, people are like, oh, but the battle's just tapping your phone over and over. But it's like, no. You have to well-time your dodges. You have to make sure you're hitting the monster in a certain place. You want to hit the weak point or you want to break a certain part. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, because we were trying to break the tail on Arathion today to finish a quest, and we couldn't do it. There was a party of four of us, and we kept killing it before it was gone. So anyway, They have a new season, and it's they now have their version of transmogrification or glamour. So now you can make your characters look certain ways, and some of the armor looks really cool, and you can do that. But guess what else they added in Monster Hunter Now with all this? Let me see if I can bring it up. Here it is. Yep, I brought it up on the screen for it. Look, guess what this is, and I'm showing it on the screen on my phone. That is a season pass with a free tier and a premium tier. And look at that. You've got your cosmetic unlocks just in time for the glamour feature that are all available on the premium tier. Here's the thing, though. I'm a little less irritated with Monster Hunter Now doing it because it is a free game. And I get it. Ain't nothing free in this world. Developers got to be paid. But I can't help but eye roll a little bit because I'm like, when everybody's doing a battle pass, no one's going to buy a battle pass. Something to think about. That's all.
Right. Like with 500 live service games in development, not all of them are going to have people playing them.
Yeah. But at least, again, I'm not going to give Niantic or Capcom shit for having that because, again, it's a free game. That's where you expect to see the battle passes. Fine. It's the AAA games that come out for $70 and then have the nerve to do a battle pass on top of that, which, yes, Diablo 4 is one of them, and I still play that game, so maybe I'm the problem. Hi, it's me. But, I think there's a lot less people willing to pony it up in a game like Diablo 4 than there are in the free games where it's like, whatever, it's free. I know quite a few people that ponied up for the premium pass. I can see it. If I go through my friends list, I can see, they have the hoodie from the premium pass. They have the hoodie from the premium. I'm like, I know who bought it.
Well, I have to buy those battle passes. I don't want the kids at school making fun of me.
Oh, no, not that. So I don't. These are adults that are all playing this game. But yeah. But anyway, I have to say, I would recommend you check out Monster Hunter Now if you like the whole GPS thing. And it's all the same Pokestops and maybe more, actually, because I think just about everything in Ingress is in Monster Hunter Now. So you may actually see more landmarks because the Pokestop algorithm doesn't create multiple Pokestops in a certain radius. Like you can't have more than two in a certain map cell, but it's a little more generous in Ingress and Monster Hunter Now. So you might actually see more stuff. So E3VL says, imagine people doing dailies for more than five games. Monster Hunter Now has dailies, but you know what? They brought dailies into Ingress now, all these years later. Do you know this July, I will have been playing Ingress for 10 years. And that game's still going. I don't know for how much longer, sadly, but that game's still going. You know, it's 10 years now. So it's wild. But anyway, Monster Hunter Now, it's neat. Check it out. They just released a new season. It's like a whole new patch for the game. And considering the game just came out 6 months ago, that's some really encouraging support to see, honestly. So. All right. Well, with that, we will get into some gaming news for the week. So, Loki, we've been joking a lot about quadruple A tonight.
Yeah, let's get some more.
Let's get some more in.
I don't know, jargon for the game industry. So now I guess a little bit tongue in cheek, I guess, but apparently there's a conglomerate of indie gamers that have come up with the Triple I initiative. So Triple I, they actually have a website. It's the Triple I initiative. It says, describes itself as a mysterious teasing page. So it's from the studios from Darkest Dungeon, Risk Rain, Slay the Spire, Vampire Survivors, V Rising, etc. And I don't know what it necessarily is, but apparently you can sign up for updates and they're going to make an announcement in about 11 days. So
I wonder,
I don't know.
It's almost like all these different studios getting together to build their own hype machine for indie games is what I kind of
get. Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, or like maybe like committing to like certain standards or something like that. Cause I know certainly in the AAA space, that's kind of one of the things. It's like, well, hey, you're having me pay $70 for a game that is broken. Like how many developers have, and we have stories about that coming up later in the show, how many developers have like apologized for the state that their game is released in, or publishers even? Like, it's inexcusable at this point, I feel. Like, to release a game that is this knowingly broken, you know it's broken, because like it's fundamentally broken. It's not like, oh man, it's some sort of bug we just didn't catch and now there's that, or oh hey, we weren't prepared for, you know, the number of people logging into our servers or something like that. It's like more regular than not, like we hear about these studios having to apologize for their games that they release and give us a roadmap on how they're going to fix it Mind you, they are very upfront about charging you $70 and the battle pass and a special edition and DLC and cosmetics and all that stuff for their game. Like, I don't know. So hopefully that's what we see coming out of this, or maybe just some advertising for some indie studios. Either way.
Mike Deft in chat says, I blame investors. No, seriously, that's it.
And guess what,
And guess what the indie studios don't have to worry about? Investors. So, aye to that.
So. I want someone just to treat me like the investor, or like the game companies treat investors, man.
No, they have an investor, their own pockets, and some parents and friends.
Yeah, that's true. The investors really are the people, right?
Yeah.
And the hype machines end up being the people as well a little bit too. So I think it's kind of interesting that these different indie studios are kind of getting together to do their own sort of hype machine, though. It's very, I don't know. I think there's something really kind of cool and kind of punk rock about that almost. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do. So we'll see. I love the tongue-in-cheek attack on the quadruple A game, though. Like you know, again, Yves Guillemot continuously putting foot in his mouth time and time again. How he's still running that company is anyone's guess, but, you know. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about, there's a little bit on Pal World with all that, right, Loki?
Yeah. So Pal World devs basically are saying that, hey, AAA games are not for us. They want to stick to smaller, size games.
We don't like
games.
The attention.
Yeah, basically, hey, we are and will remain a small studio. I want to make multiple small games, big budget, AAA games are not for us. And I mean, that's fine. It's a breath of fresh air. I mean, these are the same developers that said, you know, hey, yeah, we understand that, like, our Steam playing time is, or our concurrent players is going down. And that's fine because the game has an end. And you know what? You can go play other fun games that are out there. You don't have to keep playing our game. You know, we're glad that you purchased it and played it. We're going to have more content coming for it later on. But you don't have to live your life in this game. You know, it's not going to make or break us whether you do that.
Yeah.
Which I think is completely fair. Like, that's a fair statement to make, and it's also a very healthy statement to make. That, once again, and like, because that's kind of the position that a lot of these big AAA studios, they want you to live in there. Like, a lot of the times, like, you hear them describing, it's like, yeah, we want you to come in, we want you to work, we want you to earn money, or earn, like, especially when it's NFT games, we want you to earn, you know, they describe the game like a job. It's like, bitch, I fucking go to work every goddamn day. I don't want a fucking another job after this job, and then I have a job at home doing, like, stuff with the family. And
yeah, we heard you like jobs, so here's a job while you job.
I don't want another goddamn job. Like, it's like, we already have that. And this doesn't pay well. I have to pay you. What the hell? Like, you know, it's not worth it. So, I don't know. I think game companies, I think, have lost their way, or some game companies, larger game companies, have kind of lost their way of what games are, like, even. It's like, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, like, a way to escape and relax and do all that stuff.
No, they print money. Money, money, money. They have ways to get money. Pull slot machine.
More grind
money.
Equals
buy
more
battle
content.
Pass, get money.
You know, more grind, more content. That's how it works.
Yeah,
got to get that grind
set. Those dumb nerds will throw money at anything. We'll just do a palette swap and then charge for it. Money. Those stupid nerds, they'll pay for it.
That's how it started, you know? And honestly, okay. Like, they do try to do that. Like, $20 for a blue skin. You know, or just skin with
horse armor.
Parts on
That's it. Where it all began. Horse armor.
God damn you, Bethesda.
All right. Anyway. On a somewhat related note to Pal World, there's a lot of people out there that are wondering what Pokemon and or Nintendo lawyers are up to these days. Wink, wink, nudge. Well, I guess we already heard about Nintendo lawyers on last week's show, but let's talk a little bit about Pokemon lawyers, or in this case, a former Pokemon lawyer. In fact, the former chief legal officer for the Pokemon company, Don McGowan is the person's name, was recently doing an interview with Aftermath. And for some reason, people all of a sudden are very interested in what is the Pokemon company's process for, like, going after fan projects? Not that I have anything in mind from a story we may have just literally talked about. But anyway, this was a very interesting comment from Don McGowan, who said in this interview, quote, I would be sitting in my office minding my own business when someone from the company would send me a link to a news article. Or I would stumble across it myself. Thanks,
Kotaku.
I teach entertainment law at the University of Washington and say this to my students. The worst thing on earth is when your fan project gets press because now I know about you. But that's not the end of the equation. You don't send a takedown right away. You wait to see if they get funded for a Kickstarter or similar. If they get funded, that's when you engage. No one likes suing fans. And that's the quote, which sounds a little bit dastardly, but at the same time, to me, draws a very clear line in the sand. And that's money, right?
Right, because if you're that's just it. An ordinary dude that's just making a fan game, they can't sue you and get any money from you. That right. would cost that. What's the point?
You and know, it looks they shitty because you're clearly going after a fan who has no source of income. Well, you know what I mean? Based on the project, right? Maybe a different job source of income, but nothing directly related to the project. But then when it's, oh, we made money off a Kickstarter. Oh, now you're profiting off of this. We're going to take all that money or, you know, shut it down because, it crossed the money threshold, which... Mm-hmm. Funny enough, very interesting, we were talking about that emulator last week, which, by the way, lots of very good follow-up on our Discord server. I'm going to point you our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/Discord. And Bobby, on his show tonight, got a lot further into this than maybe I necessarily want to again tonight. But I thought there was a lot of interesting kind of like clarifications and sort of like clearing the air on the whole like emulator saga story. And it really boils down to these emulator keys are the key quote-unquote thing that sort of separates this from something, say,
hear what you did there.
We were drawing comparisons to Bleem last week. Well, Bleem didn't have keys that these newer sort of... So anyway, more information on the Discord, and I would really encourage you to check out our Discord to continue the conversation throughout the week, because, you know, some of you have your hands in fandoms that go beyond, you know, what we... You know, gaming is a big, wide world. It's a big pool. It's not a pool. It's an ocean. It is a big ocean of content. And we try to stay on top of it best we can. But sometimes y'all are in pieces of the ocean that we can't even explore. But anyway, my point is with the emulator story is that, again, it was money, right? Money came into that whole thing. And that's where Nintendo then showed up and said, oh, hell no. You know, and it very... interesting sort of comment from the Pokemon former employee as well, which I think is important to say, but I can't imagine a lot of that has necessarily changed. So if you're a fan project out there, number one, don't openly make money off the project. Number two,
don't talk about fan project.
Don't release it till it's done. Yeah, don't talk about Fight Club. I mean, fan project. Exactly.
Fan club. Wait.
Bruno. Anyway, let's move on. Darksakura.
So if there's a company that's good at making things old new again, that would be Atari. And Atari is bringing back some of its classic games, and actually even more, with the Recharged series. So there's been some tests already out. They are using the... And I think it's great that it's called Alan 1, the video arcade system, because that's a Tron reference.
Ah, it sure is.
Remember?
Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
And so there are, they have like different interactive effects, and they said it's actually inspired by virtual pinball. So it has like knockers, shake motors, blower fans, things like that, to boost the experience of the games. And they are actually, I might have said they were already in location testing. So there is an Avian Nights that's out in the wild. So yeah, if any of you find any of these out, let us know. But the Recharge series presently is made up of Berserk, Recharge, Quantum, Caverns of Mars, Asteroids, Centipede, Black Widow, Breakout, Gravatar, Missile Command, and Yars.
I have the Yars Recharged, and it's pretty decent. Like it's much better than a lot of the other kind of modernizations of that game. So yeah, the Recharge series is interesting. So neat to see them going this direction with it.
I'm hoping to have a big revival in arcades.
Yeah. Do these machines spit tickets? That's my only
I thought they were redemption games.
Oh, are they? Oh, then yeah, they're ticket spitters. See,
I don't think all of them are.
That's the problem, is that now everything's got to do that to succeed. But yeah, Dartus, see you in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I do find it really cool they're turning those into legit arcade games. I do have a couple between Switch and PC. Weren't they giving one away at one point? I feel like they did. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, I think the Recharge series is pretty cool. Yeah, I'd love to see that come full circle. I would love to see arcades come to life again, but I don't know. It's rough out there. Anyway, Loki.
Yeah, apparently, it's very obvious because there's a big red message on the Minecraft launcher, but apparently there was a bug in the Xbox app regarding upgrading Minecraft. And according to Mojang's official support account on Twitter, they are advising people not to update Minecraft through the Xbox app. Thankfully, I don't play through the Xbox app, so no worries for me. And I also thought this was only for Bedrock, but maybe it's not. I don't know. Also, I play Fabric, so it's not the same launcher anyways. It can result in your game actually, or your worlds being deleted. So this has happened. Apparently, folks have had their game or their worlds, many years worth of playtime in them, just wiped out from these updates. There is a update repair tool that is supposed to be for a gaming service repair tool for PC, which I did run that. I don't know what that necessarily does, but I think it fixes the issue with the Xbox app, but. Once again, don't play it through the Xbox app, so good for me. But, yeah, that sucks. It's a big old blight.
I do use the Xbox app, so this is concerning. Now, thankfully, I'm not quite as invested in Minecraft as Loki is. I don't really have, like, a... Usually, every time I get a bug to go play Minecraft, I just start a new world anyway. But, yeah, it's a little bit scary, to be honest.
Yeah, and I don't have any single-player worlds anyways. It's all online, so there's nothing getting deleted from the Xbox app.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about Unreal Engine. And as we know, the Unreal Engine is a very big resource for, creating games. But as we've seen now, as we're getting into, these more and more, the more these things can do with the Unreal Engine, we're starting to see that TV, movies are actually using this. You might remember when they were first showing Unreal Engine 5, right? The newest one? Yeah, 5.4 is the newest one, but when they were first showing Unreal Engine 5, I want to say they had this whole Matrix experience, right? Like the movie, mm-hmm. and they were kind of showing like what it could do. And so now you actually have TV, movies, other entertainment using Unreal Engine. Well, Epic Games is now announcing a new pricing structure for a non-game developer to use this because there's no income stream for them otherwise. So they have to kind of make money from this somehow. But there's a lot of rules with this. So let me try to cover some of this. So the per seat subscription to use Unreal for a non-gaming purpose is $1,850. And that's basically like per license. So per user sitting at a computer desk using it, it's $1,850. So if you have 10 people, you do the math, etc. This is going to be going into effect when 5.4 releases in late April. And of course, if you are making TV shows, movies, you're going to have to pay this fee because otherwise you're not, there's no way Epic isn't getting royalties. That's the problem. So Epic can get royalties from games. They can't get royalties from, I think this is fascinating, theme park rides. And now that I think about like a lot of rides I've gone on at like Universal and stuff, oh, yeah, they're probably using this for theme park rides for sure. So I think this is very interesting, all these different places to get this from. Also, very important sort of, twist on this is that this whole system is still I friendly, if you will, even for the TV and movie world, because if you are a company that makes less than $1 million in annual gross revenue, you don't have to pay the fee. So if you're, college learning on Unreal and assuming you don't have anything that made over $1 million, or you're an indie studio, like super indie, not making anything over $1 million, you don't have to pay to Unreal. So that's kind of nice for that. You can also license portions of Unreal Engine, the Twin Motion real-time visualization tool, $445 a year, reality capture, $1,250 a year. So Pretty neat. By the way, that $1 million cutoff, you may or may not recall, that is also true for games. So your games don't have to pay a royalty share. They upped that from $50,000 to $1 million in the COVID era in 2020. So very interesting sort of line there. So as long as you're not a millionaire with your job after your job, you will be all right and can use the Unreal Engine for this, which I think is pretty cool. Loki, I know this might be a silly question, but with all the movie making that you've been doing, have you been considering using Unreal to, I mean, I guess maybe it is silly because I know most of your stuff is driven in Minecraft, but I know you've been doing a lot of things, you know, like you're, I think in the latest video that had all the tropes from YouTube and all that stuff, like you obviously did a lot of work in Premiere or whatever video editing you use to do all that. Have you ever thought about using Unreal for some flashy type of things?
No, because that's more of like, I think for building virtual sets, they do that a lot, or motion capture. They'll use the Unreal stuff. Like it's not something I would be doing. Like the only like example that I'm aware of, I think there's Linus Tech Tips. They have a channel called Game Linked where they do gaming news. And I want to say that their set is a virtual set in Unreal Engine 5 that they built. So it would be something like that. They would probably have to pay, because unless they consider Game Linked its own company, which I don't think they would. But that's kind of where that use case would be. I can see this more. Yeah, I can see this more like.
Blackwolf in chat points out Mandalorian used Unreal. Well, we know who's paying the money then. Like, you know, Disney is going to be paying some money.
I mean, I would imagine Unreal would be good for that type of thing, since you can drag things in place, as it were. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I know people who have been making their own virtual backgrounds and things like Blender and Daz 3D and whatnot for ages. I mean, Daz 3D, you can easily, you know, use existing media out there, you know, just license it and boom, there you go. You've got a background. You don't need to run anything through Unreal. You just create it and port it. Mm-hmm. And it's free. The application is free. And for those of us who are in the Mac universe, you know, we've got Final Cut Pro. We have Motion for doing graphic effects. So.
Questbuster in chat points out car companies like GM, General Motors, and BMW also use Unreal, which for those car commercials and flashy, it makes sense to me. Absolutely. So, very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of use cases for it.
Yeah, but it's really neat to see how the gaming world is. You know, we've talked a lot on this show, and you know, especially over our long, long history, we've talked a lot about how we see the gaming industry oftentimes following in the movie industry and TV industry's footsteps with many things. But here's a very interesting case where now and it's not to say this hasn't happened before, but it's you know, just another one in the list of now here's the gaming industry leading the movie industry, which is very fascinating, I think. So interesting. Bobby does point out, if you want to check out some of this, how the Mandalorian uses Unreal Engine, it's on YouTube, so you can check it out. So, or maybe not YouTube, but maybe Disney Plus behind the scenes type of featurettes, you know, you can find it. So pretty cool.
It exists.
Yes, it does. Dark Sakura, I guess while we're on a Disney note.
So, well, another thing, I feel kind of like I don't want to talk about it for some of the reasons that were mentioned before. Mm-hmm. But there is a homebrew developer named Frogbull, the same one who got Metal Gear Solid and Final Fantasy running on the Saturn. Is making a Star Wars game for Dreamcast called Star Wars Dream of the Rebellion that was inspired by Rogue Squadron, the same one by Factor 5. And so you are an X-Wing fighter pilot and you have to take down TIE fighters. And he was very impressed, he said, with how Sega created this in that, you know, in the universe and how fun it was, but the games didn't make their way to Dreamcast, so they were all just on, you know, the older consoles. There was Jedi Power Battles, Demolition, Episode One Racer, so but none of them would let you play an X-Wing, so he wanted to do that. So there you go. Now there is a demo out, by the way. I am just a little concerned as to what would happen. You know, if, I mean, hopefully he's not going to be putting this out for any kind of money or asking for funding for it. So, but it would still, it's still touching two pretty big franchises. You know, we've got the entire Star Wars universe, and Disney can be quite litigious, but you also have Sega with their, granted, defunct hardware, but still their hardware.
Don't cross the
money
line.
And the game that they created.
Yeah. So, but at least the demo's out there if you want to check it out.
Now, this is the where I completely draw the line. He's using AI tech for the voice of C-3PO by ripping lines from Rogue Squadron and Rogue Leader and X-Wing Alliance to synthesize the voice. So this is basically taking Anthony Daniels' voice. Because I'm not sure, actually, I'm not sure if he did the ones for those games. I would think that he did. Mm. But still, if he's taking that voice and recreating it for use in his project, that is illegal use of likeness.
Yeah. Bob,
or at least
Bobby
vocal.
Does point out Lucasfilm has fan film guidelines that would probably be applicable here, but that's, that voice thing is a really slippery slope. Yeah. Oof. So careful with that.
I can't. Yeah. That just right there soured the whole project for me. I mean, I'm interested in it. I would love to see it, but not with all of this going on. You know how I'm against AI for mimicking, mm-hmm. you know, a paid actor's voice. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You need to get somebody else to record the lines for you, a different actor playing the same part. I'll be C-3PO for you. You know what? I can do the C-3PO voice for your game. Just give me a call.
I am fluent in over 5 million languages.
That's right. Just look me up. I'll do C-3PO so you don't have to use shitty AI.
Just go in like a completely
different robot.
Yeah, I was gonna say, just go in a completely different direction, like Aronauts did with like Creepio. Just like that was way.
You can create your own protocol droid. Just put some letters and numbers together and make sure it sounds neat as a nickname.
C69 DJ. That can be my Android name.
Okay.
All right. SSJ 100 Matt said I was Mr. Movie Phone. Oh, whatever. Anyway, and Bobby,
Mr. Movie Phone.
Bobby does point out what he said was before that part about the AI of a, you know, voice actor that's not involved, but also pointing out fan film guidelines say create your own characters. So very important distinction there. So, all right. Well, Loki, you have something on Star Wars.
And eventually they'll take your character and make them canon.
Yeah. Part of the deal.
Yeah. So what I have about Star Wars is an apology for doing a shitty job at porting a game or remastering a game. So apparently, first off, actually good news. Let's do the good news before the bad news. So the good news is that the company that was working on Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the remake of that, Saber Interactive, has been sold for $500 million. And it's that was, of course, owned by the Embracer Group at the time. And, Saber also owned, 4A Studios, which you may remember. They were the ones that ported, I think, Minecraft to the early console stuff. Like, that was on, they're the Metro game series developers. 4A, I'm thinking of, there's another one that's similar to that, that was on the Xbox Minecraft version, but, and then Zen Studios, of course, you know them for their pinball games. Apparently, a private investor group known as Beacon Interactive, so one investor group to the next, hopefully this one doesn't suck, has made the purchase for them. And Saber's going to keep a studio's Nimble Giant, 3D Realms, Sandbox Strategies, and New World Interactive, Slipgate, Ironworks, Madhead Games, and Fractured Bite. Embracer is still going to own, I guess, Tripwire, Beamdog, Tuxedo Labs, and a bunch of other game companies I'm not familiar with. But That's good. At least one, several studios are surviving the Embracer Group fiasco.
That's so now label for it.
And now for something negative. Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection. It sounded cool when it came out. I was like, cool, they're releasing the old classic Star Wars Battlefront games. Aspyre did a really terrible job with it. They put out a statement, apologize, or they didn't apologize for the issues, but said that they recognize that there are issues. It says, we'd like to thank the Battlefront community for an overwhelming support and feedback for the Star Wars Classic or Battlefront Classic Collection release. At launch, we experienced critical errors with our network infrastructure. This resulted in high ping, matchmaking errors, and crashes. I'm going to tell you right now that that's not the extent of it. That's part of it, but there's a lot of it. The game is really broken. Really, really broken. They said, please continue to submit bug reports to us through our request form. Thank you. We'll do the bug troubleshooting for you. That's fantastic. Yeah, it's bad. Like, it's overwhelmingly negative on Steam right now. The videos I've seen of the bugs, you can't hit anybody. You can't, you just spin around every time you die. Like, the camera just spins rapidly around. It's bad. But hey, it's 70 gigabytes because they put a bunch of clips from the movies in there. Whereas this game originally was like, it was a few gigabytes, because I think it was on DVD. I mean, it was on the PlayStation 2 at one time. I think it was PlayStation 2 era. So, yeah, they blew up the game to 70 gigabytes with all these stupid clips. Probably uncompressed video. Cool. Thanks. Thanks, Aspyre. Worth the price of admission.
Wow. It's really unfortunate, too, because with a name like that and a game that people remember, there's probably even more people that get suckered into pre-ordering it and buying this on day one and all of that that then just end up with a subpar product. And it's so crappy. Like, this is why Steam has a return policy for if you've only played so much time of it, you can return it. And why, ultimately, I know a lot of developers fucking hate that thing, but here's where it's needed. Unfortunately,
yes,
this is where it's needed. And while this epidemic still exists, investors are the problem, you know, and shit like this is coming out when it's still in a half-baked state. And this is it. Yeah. As Joe and Hunter Matt says, got to hold them accountable somehow. So it sucks. Like, I feel for the developers that, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a console game, yeah, too. So, like, it's great for the Steam users, but it sucks for everybody else that Seriously. Purchased it on console. Well, cause,
are people asking for refunds? Because sometimes they get
them so.
On consoles.
I think people are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So we'll see. Well, speaking of consoles, the PlayStation 5 got an update this week. The 9.0 firmware update, if you can believe it. How far we've come. My goodness. So we had a beta for 9.0 recently, but now it just went out for PlayStation 5 owners earlier this week. As a part of this, you have enhancements to DualSense and DualSense Edge controller audio. I noticed for my PlayStation, when I turned it on, it did an update to my controller first. The speakers are louder and the speakers sound clearer when broadcasting in-game sounds and voice chat. The microphone is also apparently improved. Sony says a new AI machine learning model. All right, but it's just suppressing background noises from button presses and game audio, leading to an improved voice chat experience. So if we're just talking, I think they're just...
That's fine.
Yeah, I think they're using AI as a marketing thing here, because to me, that's noise print. That noise prints have been a thing in audio editing programs for a long time. It's just being able to do that on the fly. Sure, fine, AI, machines, great, yay. There's also brightness adjustments for the PS5 power indicator. You can get that in settings, system, beep and light, and then brightness. Yes, there is actually a menu in PlayStation called beep and light.
That beep and light. I hate how bright it is.
That should have been the name of this program. Beep and light. maybe that could be a new video game. Like, Kid and Chase? What was that game? I don't know. But that we need to have a duo shooting game called Beep and Light.
You mean Lucky and Wild?
That's it, Lucky and Wild. I'm thinking of another game, too. Oh, well. Anyway.
There was Bump and Chase as well.
Bump and Chase. Yeah, Beep and Light. Exactly. Anyway. Share Screen also, of course, lets you broadcast your gameplay. Now you can do pointers and emoji reactions. So the people that you're sharing gameplay with can now point at things on the screen. So in the case, because this happens to me all the time, look here, you dummy. They can actually use a pointer to say point, point, point. It's right here. So that's actually kind of fun. I think that's kind of cool. And then they can do emoji reactions as well, which is silly, but also fun. Speaking of emojis, Unicode 15.1 emojis are now reflected in the 9.0 update. I don't know which emoji set that is. But
does it play erasure?
I don't think it does, sadly, unless you go in there and enable it. But anyway, that is all happening. On a somewhat related note, rumors are picking up from, and this time it's, you know, respected leakers and so forth. Apparently that there is a PlayStation 5 Pro that is coming this holiday. This is coming from Tom Henderson of Insider Gaming, saying that the PS5 Pro details that were leaked on YouTube came from documentation that Sony itself recently sent to third-party developers. So apparently the PlayStation 5 Pro will offer improved and consistent frame rate at 4K, as well as a performance mode for 8K. Here we fucking go, 8K now. Also, rendering games is supposed to be up to 45% quicker, ray tracing capabilities that are 2 to 3 times faster, and apparently the GPU will have 67 teraflops. Faster speed and better graphics. It's just more parts inside. More parts.
Potentially better graphics.
SSJ100 Matt says you can point to save game. Yes, that would be what Bobby's doing when I'm streaming on SharePlay, is he would point at save. Save your game. Save your game. All right. E3VL over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, can't wait for The Last of Us Part 1 Remastered Pro. Yeah.
Though is obvious, it's obviously not able to output 8K. What it's gonna, the rumor is that it has an upscaler built into it, like a really nice upscaler. That it's what was it?
AI upscaling. That's what they'll call it.
Kind of. It's sort of like that.
Resolution.
Yeah. I don't remember the actual terminology. It was spectral super resolution. That's what it was.
Yeah, super resolution.
Wow.
That apparently is
I've used it.
Better than FSR2, AMD's FSR2.
One step closer to the holodeck, right? All right. Anyhow, let's take a time to go down memory lane in this segment where you will not need a PlayStation 5 Pro to play this next game we're going to talk about. That's for sure.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
All right, Dark Sakura, what did you pick for us this week?
I picked EGG, Elemental Gimmick Gear. It is an action roleplay game that came out on the Dreamcast, since we've had some Dreamcast news tonight. Mm-hmm. It basically used hand-drawn art in an overhead view while you're exploring, and then switches to 3D during boss battles. It was developed by Birthday and published by Hudson Soft in Japan and Vatical Entertainment in the U.S. So you have to go through different ruins, and there are puzzles that need to be solved before you can move forward. And the puzzles may have switch or moving objects around. And then there are racing where your character rolls into a ball or an egg and races along rails to finish before the computer is done. It's a weird one. It was a really weird game. So basically, just like a brief bit of backstory, in this world called Tokion, there are these dome-shaped ruins that were in a jungle. They excavated and pulled out an X-shaped robot, and it had a sleeping guy in it. And they made other little robots from this robot, you know, in its style. And then they all went and said, hey, we don't like you humans anymore, and went to go worship the big giant egg. And then, you know, shenanigans, chaos ensues. So, but at any rate, you have the main character who is the one who is asleep in the egg, named the Sleeper. And he doesn't remember anything about himself. So they call him Leon. But you can name him whatever you want to. And he's been asleep for 5,000 years, which is how I wish I could feel when I wake up in the morning, but I feel like I've been asleep for, you know, 5 seconds. You have also Dr. Yam, who works at he's the head doctor at the lab that found Leon. Selin, who is also in the lab, she's the one who gives Leon his name. And then Lucky, who lost his parents when the Fagna, which are the little robot people, were activated. And so it got some, you know, kind of middle of the road gaming. I mean, Famitsu gave it 27 out of 40. E. coli of GamePro, I'm going to just read the quote because I think it's a really apt description. EGG has a surprisingly small world and playing time dependent on how fast you can solve its mysteries. While it lacks depth, EGG does offer some interesting and complex puzzles that will appeal mostly to gamers who aren't in a hurry. And that's the game. It was a cute game. I played through, you know, I started it. It wasn't really like my brand of game, really. But, you know, it's very notable, and it was kind of unique in terms of story and its style. And so if you haven't played it, give it a go. If you can find a Dreamcast and the game, yeah, do it that way. I'll be looking somewhere else while you get a Dreamcast and play this game.
I'll try my best to find a Dreamcast. All right.
I know you got a Dreamcast.
I have in the closet.
And I have the game, so if you want to play it, I'll lend it to
and
you.
Somehow I didn't really know this game for sometimes you dig up these little gems where I'm like, how did I not know about this game? But that's what this is for.
It's a neat little game.
Educational content. It's important. All right. EGG, Elemental Gimmick Gear, game of the week. We have some other quick headlines for you, and then we're gonna get to the world release dates as well, and then believe it or not, we're kind of already out of stories for the week, but I think there may be a few things you want us to talk about. We can do that as well, and then we'll have the listener roundtable coming up shortly if anybody wants to call in. I know a few people expressed interest. Oh, by the way, Bobby Blackwolf in chat mentions, and I saw some of his posts on Blue Sky about this, your classic game of the week last week,
Puli Rula.
Actually, he had on his little multi machine downstairs in Black Wolf Arcade, and he actually played it after the show and said,
"See what I mean?
It was weird."
You see what I mean, Bobby? Puli Rula.
All right, sorry, Puli Rula. I was reading from Bobby's comment, so
yeah. You know, well, I'd like to. I actually want to throw in a little fun thing is, you know who Seamus Blackley is, right?
Why does it sound familiar?
The father of the Xbox.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we kind of made acquaintances actually through baking, because he's also really good. He like grows yeast out of the wild and makes really neat bread. So he gave me some pointers for starting my new bread dough. But anyway,
red dough.
He actually put up pictures on social media about the prototype, or as he said, the prototype for the prototype of the Xbox. He put up a picture of it. It was really neat looking. He also has another picture of it in his kitchen with a bunch of his yeasts in the background. So I was like, I see we have some dough ready to go.
That's fun.
But I thought people would enjoy that. I can find the post if anyone's interested. There you go.
All right. Well, meanwhile, let's talk about some other headlines that will come to rise to the occasion. So, Loki, we'll start with you.
So this is pretty sweet. I didn't know this was coming, but Interbang Entertainment and the Angry Metal Company have Jay and Silent Bob Chronic Blunt Punch coming. It is a beat 'em up game based off of the two Skewverse characters. That's amazing. I need to check it out. But yeah, they put out a new trailer for it, and it's all animated and stuff. It makes me wish that the Clerks animated series was still a thing.
That thing was great.
It was. It was great.
Big American Party.
It still holds and up all these years later.
And I love, yeah, exactly, because I love that, like, the comments on the actual trailer video on YouTube were like, you know, why are we walking this way? I was like, yes, there are still people out there that remember this. That's awesome. So cool. So we have that. Then I was reminded by James Picks a few weeks ago of Robotech Crystal Dreams that, hey, there's Macross games still coming out, and we have now Red Arts Games has announced that Bushiroad's Macross Shooting Insight will be coming to the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Switch in North America this year.
Nice!
So we'll actually get to play some Macross games over here and not have to import them, which is great.
Finally.
I think, gosh, the last Macross game I played was, I think the one on Dreamcast, like Macross M, which was the one that was around when Macross 7 was out. But yeah.
Yeah,
there's only one Macross game that's come out that I haven't enjoyed, and that was the PC Engine one that was a strategy game.
This one looks like a just a space shmup game. So it's very Gradius inspired, it looked like.
Interesting. A lot of the other ones had been sort of like these 3D, like free roaming ish kind of games. I would totally play the shit out of this.
Nice.
Well, now you can later this year.
As long as I don't have to hear Minmay sing.
Darsakura, what do you have for us for Rapid Fire?
So SNK and Arika are having a big team up. They're going to collaborate to bring back some of the old non-fighting IPs. So since you know, basically stuff that came out on Neo Geo. So we don't know exactly what the games are being included, but I would think it would be stuff like, you know, Metal Gear. Not Metal Gear. Why did I say that? Metal Slug. You know, so I hope. That'd be cool. Please.
All right. Well, one other story here for Rapid Fire News has to do with the game Super Mario Maker. And I'm talking about the original on the Wii U, because as you know, the 3DS and the Wii U's online services, they're going bye-bye in a few weeks. So reminder, those online services will be 6 feet under in about 3 weeks. So because of this, there are efforts underway with the original Super Mario Maker to beat every level. Yes, that's right. There's a group called Team 0% that is trying to beat every level in the game, but there is one left. And I don't know, as of the recording of this show, I don't know if it's been done yet, because I feel like the more press that this thing gets, the more people that are going to attempt this level. And by golly,
yeah, like Carl Sagan or somebody, like Grant Huber, like doing that stuff.
But apparently there is one level left. It's called Trimming the Herbs. It is the last unbeaten Super Mario Maker level. And apparently it is very hard. It has a bunch of saw blades, piranha plants. It is 16 seconds to beat, but you would need pixel perfect manipulation to do it. But the creator had to beat it to post it, because remember, that was a thing in Mario Maker, was that you had to beat the level in order to post it. So that was how they kind of got around some of the you know, trolling that otherwise could have happened with the game. So very, very interesting. So there's one level left. I'm sure they'll get it done in, you know, 3 weeks or whatever the time is left, especially with how many, apparently it's been played, like they say, average of like 82 times a person that are actively trying to beat it. Like over 1,000 people are trying. So yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of streaming and all that stuff. By the way, this will have nothing to do with Mario Maker 2, which was a Switch game and is still available at this point. So this is only going to impact Mario Maker 1, and this is the last one. YYR says that this level comes from someone who created another infamous level that involved precision bomb handling. That one took years to beat. So we will see if Team 0% can do it. Otherwise, they're going to have to rebrand to Team 0.0001%. I'm sorry to say. Anyway. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of games that might come out sooner than Trimming the Herbs is beaten. Let's start in the U.S. Loki.
Yeah. So this week we have Hi-Fi Rush coming out on PlayStation 5. Oh my gosh, the world is ending because
cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
Funny enough, you know, that reference is perfect because also this week, you know, the new Ghostbusters movie is out. So, you know,
I'm on fire with these puns tonight, Loki.
I need to see. I want to see it. Who's going to see it with me?
I mean, I'm going to go see it on Friday with my kids for sure. So, because we saw the last one. The last one was great. I loved it.
I'll see it in a year. I finally saw Barbie like 2 weeks ago. So
I still didn't see Barbie. I wanted to see that. My wife saw it without me, you know.
It's funny. It's I liked it. There's only like a couple things I didn't like, but for the most part, I thought it was brilliant. And Margot Robbie, perfect.
Yep. We have MLB The Show 24 coming on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Hey, there's another Sony studio now on the games are just everywhere. Speaking of games being everywhere, here's one that I forgot was coming out, and it's a blast from the past. Alone in the Dark on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series.
Speaking of, isn't there a movie with a hot bear guy from Stranger Things? What's his name? Is in that movie.
It's a sheriff.
Sheriff, yes. David Harbour.
Yeah. Is there another Alone in the Dark? I only remember the
Yeah, somebody was talking about that.
I've forgotten his name. The director has left my brain.
Oh, Uwe Boll.
No! Damn it.
Nope. You're coming back.
Now I have to remember
Suffer
him
with
again.
Me. Suffer
Shut your whore mouth.
No! My brain is like fully purged.
Uwe Boll, ruined movies forever. Okay.
Okay, well, yeah, that's the only Alone Dark I remember.
Hey, Loki, remember Blood Rain? Hey, Loki, remember the Postal movie?
Hey, you want a fun story, flashback story? Because I don't think people remember this.
Uh-oh.
I have spoken to Uwe Boll.
Mm-hmm.
Because
And you told him to shove his movies where?
I did not. So this was back with, it was a long time ago, obviously. It was back when I worked at that video company. And so we interviewed him for our magazine, the industry magazine thing that we went out. So like, yes, I got to talk to him about, what was it? It was.
And you were nice. I know it. You didn't say shit to him.
Tunnel. Was it Tunnel? Yeah, I was. Of course I was nice. Because it was for Tunnel Rats, I think is what it was. I think it was a movie that he made. It actually wasn't based off of a video game, but then later made a video game based off of it as well. So yeah, that's a fun bit of trivia right there.
They had him here at the local horror con one year, the one year I didn't go because I had a conflict. They had him at the con.
Oh, darn.
I dodged a bullet with that. So yeah. I mean, but again, I could have been a consummate professional. Even if I had to run that panel, I would have been like, so let's talk about your movies. Tell me about that creative process.
What was your process there?
How many drugs you took to come up and think this was a good idea?
The German tax write-off. He was cutting edge right there because he was manipulating the tax system for movies.
You know what?
Before you know what? Warner Brothers was.
But he had to have stolen the idea from Mel Brooks. I mean, it's the plot of the producers.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't believe that Uwe Boll was ahead of his time.
Remember he got the idea from Mel Brooks.
It's been fun.
Oops, I got the
come
accident.
Back.
Okay.
Sorry, that was I was getting something out of it.
Gladys is
my
making her piece known as well. So that's interesting. What else we have coming out this week? Call of Duty Warzone Mobile for iOS and Android. Final Fantasy 14 for the Xbox Series. Horizon Forbidden West Complete Edition on PC, Crimson on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series, Dragon's Dogma 2 on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series, Princess Peach Showtime on Nintendo Switch.
Want it.
Oh, that's
Rise of. Yeah, it's this week. Damn. Rise of Ronin on PlayStation 5. And that is it.
All righty. Well, let's travel to Japan right now and check out the releases coming out over there. So on March 21st on the Nintendo Switch, we have Yuki Yuna wa Yusha de Aru Hanayui no Kirameke, Volumes 5, 6, 7, and 8. That's right, If you want to buy four different volumes of this game, you can. And this is all about, I was curious, like, what the hell game necessitates this many releases? But this is about the six members of the Sanshu Middle School Hero Club that get engulfed in a mysterious light. And when they come back to consciousness, the world has forestized and is invaded by vertexes. Okay. Anyway, each volume is a different story. It's a visual novel. You know, you know what to, either you love them or you're skipping it. You know what, you know which category you fall into. Dragon Quest X Online. What?
I was going to say, shouldn't they be invaded by vertices? That's the proper plural of vertexes.
Probably use Google Translate, right?
No. But anyway, let's talk about Dragon Quest X Online, the all-in-one package. Also coming out for the Switch. This is something you can't get here. It's versions 1 through 7. It's basically all the expansions they've done for Dragon Quest X. It's just another rebranding of it. So if you have yet to get into this, you can. In Japan, but it's still not out here for whatever reason. I don't know why. Also coming out on the Switch in Japan, Lisa, Bundle of Joy, Ambitious Mission, the Kemco RPG Selection Volume 6. My God, they keep coming. But this one includes... As Divine Kimura, Alphadia Genesis, Lost Dragon, I think I've heard of that one, and Dragon Lapis comes out. These are all, that's all in the Kemco RPG Selection Volume 6. I'm just letting you know what games are in that collection. And then lastly, NBA 2K24 gets a price reduction. This is the Kobe Bryant edition. Oh, also Princess Peach Showtime does release on the 22nd. Over in Japan, of course, that would make sense that that is a worldwide release. That was just the Switch. The PlayStation 5 has their own releases, which is pretty much overlapping some of those same ones you heard of. Lisa Bundle of Joy and the NBA 2K24 price reduction. But also in Japan, Dragon's Dogma 2 is on the Switch, as I'm pretty sure it is worldwide, but... I'm sorry, Dragon's Dogma 2 is not on the Switch. It's on the PS5. So that's why it's here.
I was going to say, I'm surprised the Switch can run that.
No, it can't. Sorry, I was getting backwards there. Tongue-tied. Rise of the Ronin, also released on PS5 this week in Japan. This is, we don't usually have a lot of weeks where the lists are very different, but they are this week. So that's kind of fun.
Getting close to the end of the financial year, you know.
That's
so.
Right. Got to get them out. All right.
I haven't seen too many differences, though, for the UK. I mean, I'll be honest.
Well, let's hear what there is.
On the 20th, for computer, PlayStation, Xbox is Alone in the Dark. On the 21st for PlayStation and Xbox is the Inquisitor Deluxe Edition. Also on the 21st is Dungeons 4 Deluxe Edition for the same. On the 22nd, we have for PlayStation Rise of the Ronin. On PlayStation and Xbox, Dragon's Dogma 2. On Switch, we have Princess Peach Showtime. And on PlayStation and Switch, we have Plate Up, and that will be it.
All right. We have just a few more. Actually, no, we don't have any more stories for you. This is where we're wrapping it up pretty much for tonight.
I got some last-minute stories we can discuss.
We'll get to those in a minute. I do want to just quickly mention the listener roundtable as well. We did not have emails this week. I confirmed that with Dark Sakura, but you can always send in emails. Participate at orangelaundry.com. We can also take calls over at vognetwork.com/discord. We're happy to take some calls if anybody wants to give us a call. But as Loki said, we have some last minute. Oh, and if you have questions for chat, you can always, if you're too shy to call and you just want to ask us something general in the chat room, you can do that too. I know we're really early tonight, but again, it was kind of a light news week. But if you have anything you'd like to put out in chat, we're happy to answer. But let's do some last minute stories from Loki.
This is important news, probably for Shane, I'm guessing. It's not Oshawa, so it's not quite Oshawa. But
that reminded me of something I need to talk about. But go ahead. You do this first.
Build-A-Bear is bringing Bidoof.
Oh, he doesn't give a shit about Bidoof.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Okay, story over. Done.
I like Bidoof. Finish the story.
All right, fine. Okay, so Build-A-Bear is getting Bidoof. You can dress Bidoof up in flannel, it looks like. They used to have a picture of that. It's $63, and it comes with a 5-in-1 sound chip.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cute.
So speaking of things Shane likes, of course, Shane, my friend, that often comes up on the show and sometimes guests on the show. So yeah, we associate him with Pokemon a lot, but don't forget that his, you know, one of his other loves is Suikoden, right? He even worked on I think Suikoden 5 in the short time he was at Konami. And I left it on my gaming week. I forgot to mention it, but the Aiden Chronicles beta came out, which they're being very like, don't stream it. And I want to say I read like, you're not, they don't even really want you talking about it on social media, but I'm like, fuck that. I paid for that game like 6 or 7 years ago. Of course I'm going to talk about it. And plus I'm not going to do story spoilers because I know I'm going to have to replay it, everything. So I only played the first kind of like prologue. We'll call it 6 months before. Those that have played it will know what I'm talking about. Those that haven't yet, it'll make sense later. I played that portion of the game, and I'm into it. I actually thought it was pretty, like, the pixel-inspired graphics, they kind of do a lot of similar stuff to Octopath, but I actually think, like, the sprites are better looking and the effects and everything. Like, it really does feel like you're playing, like, an old-school PlayStation 1 JRPG, but just, like, on Steam in this case, because that's why I'm like, I'm gonna have to replay this all anyway because I backed it on PlayStation 5. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was neat, and I look forward to playing the full version. So yeah, Aiden Chronicles. And it's a real bummer that the, you know, guy behind this whole series really passed away, because I think this game will get a good reception and he doesn't get to see that, and that's really sad. I'm sorry to be a downer, but yeah, it is a bummer because I think the game turned out pretty good. We'll see when the game the full game releases. It's only a few weeks. I want to say it's mid-April when that game comes out, so it's not too far away. So Dijirama S says, I kind of want to call in about 90s con and make the host feel old. I was living from your pictures, Rama. I'd love to hear more about it, because it looked totally rad, which I guess would be an 80s thing. But
90s con. I lived 90s con.
I know. Well, does that restaurant still exist in Rancho?
No, it's not there anymore.
Oh, that place.
Yeah, the
is so
80s
cool.
restaurant.
Yeah.
COVID killed it.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, because yeah, that's not exactly the place you're going to order from on DoorDash. So that's a bummer.
No, they were mid at best. It was more of the ambiance, and yeah,
that's a bummer. Yeah. All right, we do have someone on the Loki. I don't know if you have more, but maybe you'll hold on.
No,
to
I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, we have somebody waiting to talk Beans. To us. So let's bring them on the program. Hi there. You are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Aaron, YYR.
Hey, YYR, it's great to hear from you. It's been a minute. How have you been?
Busy. Real busy.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Life gets busy sometimes.
Yeah, I guess if you're wondering what I've been up to, my big headline is that I was accepted to the Indie Video Game Showcase at Too Many Games in nice. The Philadelphia area this year.
Good for you. That's
for
great.
The end of June. So so basically what I am now doing is struggling to basically do as much of my super multitasking project before that as possible. Ideally, I was hoping to finish the new version and finish the spin-off game, which is not yet started, actually. And, well, okay, DJ Ranma S, I see that comment in chat. It's the greater Philadelphia area. It's like
my California ass doesn't know the fucking difference, so just, it's fine.
But yeah, the upgraded version of the main game, the spin-off game, and the free-to-play version. So I'm basically rushing to finish all those up. And then, in the midst of all of that, I get an email from Google saying, hey, you remember that Google Play developer account you opened a few years ago? Well, if you don't release something in the next 6 weeks, we're going to close that because you're not using it. So if you see Sharpshooter Plus come out on Android by March 30th, that means I'm not getting killed on Android.
you can't fake it by just doing a version upgrade to something else you'd released on there? Or you haven't released on Android?
I have not released anything on Android yet.
That's why. Okay. Got it.
So, and actually, I got Sharpshooter Plus running on an Android tablet in like 2 days. The game runs, but I spent a week just trying to figure out how to sign things and create a self-signing certificate and learning how to use key stores and all
it's
this other nonsense.
Stupidest shit that we always get hung up on in any type of development. Like, I love that you're sitting here going, the game is fucking done. It's all this other stuff that I'm getting hung up. Like, this is just totally like yeah, this is what I would expect to hear. I mean, it sucks. I'm sorry to hear it, but yeah, I'm not surprised either.
I don't even know if leaderboards are going to work, which is kind of crappy considering. Well, yeah. So I'll have to patch that in later. And the other thing really...
Just call it a quadruple A release. You can always patch it in later.
Quadruple I release. Yes. I for indie.
Aye.
But yeah, the other thing is, and this is... I don't know how other people deal with this, but apparently... Google's rules for the Google Play Marketplace, exclusive to the Google Play Marketplace, is if any of your apps ask for money, whether it's in-app purchase or to buy it outright, you have to provide an address, a physical address that can be verified. And like hell, I'm giving out my home address. So at first, this game may be free. Like completely free, no ads, no in-app purchase, no nothing. So
you can't do a mailboxes, etc. type of thing, or UPS store box.
I don't know, but at any rate, I don't want to pay for it because I'm not like I'm making any money off of this. So yeah, until I figure out how to deal with that, it's probably going to be a completely free thing. Mm. But believe it or not, that's actually not why I called in.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, to what do we owe this treat?
I want to mention a couple of things that are going on that I'm a real big fan of. The first is a Stepmania event called ITL 2024 that began last weekend. It is basically the sequel event to last year's ITL 2023. ITL stands for International Timing League. The group that put this together is the ITC, the International Timing Collective. And basically what it is a big Stepmania event consisting of several hundred step charts that actually they start at level 7. Like old scale 7. So, I mean, if you can play 7s, you can try this out. The charts run the gamut, all kinds of tech. You got your crossovers, you got your jackhammers, you've got foot switches, which is when, if you play all the charts correctly, you're supposed to alternate your feet in most cases, but foot switches force you to switch the foot that you're using for the next step. And a lot of the chart designers use minds to clue you in as to when this happens. A lot of these charts are never seen before. They have a lot of tech tricks that will make you think. They're hard to score on. And in fact, the version of Stepmania that is used for this, and by the way, features automatic score submissions and all this other fun stuff, it introduces a special fantastic window, which is smaller than in the Grooves fantastic window. And you are scored based on the new scale. So, it's serious business. And, I would say, honestly, because last year's event really blew up, thousands of people participated, and basically I would say anyone who still regularly plays DDR and has a home set up is probably participating.
Wow.
So it's a super fun event. There's no, like, it doesn't cost anything. It's Stepmania, after all. You download the stuff and go. It lives on GrooveStats. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
GrooveStats.com. Mm-hmm. A bunch of us probably still have accounts there. Even if you haven't logged in years, they never went anywhere. They don't expire. You can log right into your GrooveStats
account. Unlike your Google account. Developer
account. Yeah, right? And you can log right into GrooveStats and download the pack and jump right in. It's super fun, and I would encourage anyone who still has an interest in step games to definitely check it out. And it's all you have to do is go to hold on a second. ITL2024.groovestats.com to get started.
Pretty cool. Sadly, I don't have a home dance set up, but, See, I'm planning on rebuilding mine. I know. I love that it's still going. Ooh. Pretty cool.
And I'll tell you why. Hmm. It's to help speed up my footwork for ballet.
Ooh.
So that I can get used to, because my joint mobility is a lot better. I still have a lot of pain, but I feel a lot better after I exercise or work out or move around. Hmm. And so I was thinking of using that as part of my warm up.
Nice.
To get my legs moving, because I'm apparently going to have a lead role in something coming up. But I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's a good incentive.
Yeah, if you're looking for charts to play, you could definitely check out the pack.
Anything else? I thought you said you might... Is that it, or is there something else in your mind?
There was one other thing I wanted to mention.
I thought you mentioned what's up?
If you dig through your memories, you might remember me plugging Pocket Card Jockey on 3DS, because it is a freaking amazing game. Well, a sequel had come out about a year ago, but it was locked behind the Apple Arcade subscription until recently.
Oh.
The game is now available for outright purchase on Nintendo Switch. This new version is called Pocket Card Jockey Ride On, and it is basically a remake of the original game, except that it's a heck of a lot prettier. All the horse racing is rendered in full 3D now. Basically, it's just if Derby Owners Club and Tri-Peak Solitaire had a baby, that's Pocket Card Jockey.
Okay.
And it's, it was announced in a partner direct, and I bought it the very next day. It has silly writing, a lot of kooky characters, and, it's basically, amazing. And it has the whole thing with Derby Owners Club where, you raise a horse, it has its career, it retires, it goes to the farm, and then
becomes glue.
That's when you pair it with your other retired horses, make babies, and then their kids run the races and do even better because they get superpowers and other properties from their parents. So this is a game you can play forever.
Yes.
Do they turn into pandas?
They don't. However, there is a horse that wears a cat mask.
Okay, I'm down.
That's great that it's living on, especially with all, the reminders that, I think the 3DS store is already gone, but the online services are coming up on being gone. So there's really not going to be a way to, play a lot of this stuff. So it's nice to see, that it's living on the Switch. And I'm sure there's a few games in this boat as well.
Rob.
So it's nice to see.
Rob. What? You should play it and name your first horse Politary.
Maybe give how much does this game cost? Where?
It was in the $10 range. I don't actually remember. I think it was $10 or $12 bucks.
Jamie.
What?
Give me $10.
Bitch, I'm poor. My birthday's the one coming up.
I will mention though, the iThing version is still on Apple Arcade. So if you do have an active Apple Arcade subscription, feel free to jump in at any time.
I guess there's that too. All right. Well, YYR, it is always a delight to hear from you. Please let us know if you do get that game released on Android. We'll make sure we give you a shout out, because I saw Bobby in chat was like, I'm happy to buy it to help support. And I don't have an Android device. Oh, but
you can buy it for $0.00.
Alan has an Android phone. I'll make him purchase it as well. So, whether it's
I will say
or whatever.
Being sharpshooter, it will play better on a tablet than on a phone. But
he's got one of those.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And now I will get back to trying to get as many badges as possible from Nintendo Badge Arcade while I still can.
All right. Yes.
Which is very difficult now, because you can't buy plays anymore because the store is closed. And so you have to rely on the free plays that you can earn from the training claw. And by the way, for probably like a year now, the training claw has been the same every day.
Oh.
And also the available badges have not rotated anymore. Oh. So I'm trying to
but
win
you're
as
in
much
the Groundhog's
of what's
Day
there.
Of game stuff.
Basically. That is pretty much it.
All the cool 3DS stuff is dying a slow, terrible death. I can't stand it, but
It stinks. Honestly, I still prefer traveling with my 3DS over my Switch.
Okay, stop it. I'm gonna shut that soundboard down with my bare hands. All right. YYR, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. It's always a delight to hear from you.
Hey, have a great week. Thanks for the show, as always.
Of course. Take care, buddy.
We like having you around.
Yay.
Good luck.
Thanks. See you later.
Bye. It's always a delight to hear from YYR. It's fine.
It really is. It really is.
All right. We actually have somebody else waiting. And you know what? We didn't have a lot of news stories to talk about tonight. So why not? Let's talk to somebody else on the phone right now. Hello there. You are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's the one and only Ranma. How is everybody doing tonight?
Fantastic. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. Just so you know, you twisted my arm. That's what you did. You twisted my arm.
Oh, you're even wearing your shirt from the 90s con, aren't you?
Okay. Yes.
I want to hear about this. I want to hear about this.
As I was telling mostly everyone, out of the 20 plus years of conventions I have gone to, this is the first con I spent the most amount of money on. And I ain't talking hotel room. I'm talking just straight up swag and stuff.
Did you actually like pay for selfies and all that stuff too? Uh-oh.
Yes,
oh,
what's that?
Is that an autograph? I can't tell what it is.
This is
Topanga? Get out.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I got so emotional over this, and I'll get into that in just
so many straight boys crushed on her hard at some point. That's yeah.
It's funny. I've seen those memes where they say your first crush was Kelly Kapowski, and a bunch of us were like, yeah, no, it was not.
No, Topanga. I know Topanga was popular for sure.
For me, it was Topanga and Kimmy Gibbler.
Right. Anyway, enough about the crushes. Okay. How was the con?
Okay. It was great. I actually had a great time. So basically, it's a 3-day convention of basically the 90s stars of shows such as Boy Meets World, Step by Step, basically like the TGI Friday lineups and other shows like Seventh Heaven and so forth. And they had like hour-long panels talking about the different shows and so forth. I didn't go Friday because of work. So I figured I'd go Saturday. I go up, grab some autographs, and go home. I forgot what it was like to wait on those long, long lines of autographs. But since the majority of the people were our age, there was not much in the ways of dilly and dallying. So the lines went pretty smooth, so I really couldn't complain about that.
Now, I thought I saw, like, from the pictures you were posting, because I saw, you know, some of your stuff on social media, and it wasn't just, you know, this. I thought I saw, like, an arcade room set up with 90s Arcadias. So tell me, like, the gaming, since I guess it has to be a gaming show sometimes. Tell me about some of the gaming stuff.
That's not much to tell. But seriously. The arcade, there was three pinball machines.
Pinball machines at a convention? Oh, never mind.
Three pinball machines and like three or four arcade machines. It was TMNT 1, The Simpsons, Mortal Kombat, and a Super Mario Brothers arcade machine.
For a 90s lineup, that's pretty solid. I would say just switch out the Mario machine with an Iron Man Stewart Super Off-Road machine, and there you go. You have your quintessential pizza parlor lineup.
Or put in a Final Fight, a Street Fighter, Captain America and the Avengers, drop a gauntlet machine in there, you know?
Maybe this. Well, it sounds like the con was probably a success, so they'll probably come back next year, right?
Well, this is their second. This is actually their third or fourth 90s con.
I've heard of this con before. Do they have it on the West Coast, too? Because I swear, maybe they just. This is a thing they do now, is these memory cons.
I've never seen them advertised on the West Coast, but they have it in Connecticut around this time of the year. And then around September, I think they have it in Florida.
So, okay. I definitely heard about the Florida one because also, so the cruise, the Star Trek cruise, the same production company that does the Star Trek cruise, the week after we get back every year has always been their next theme cruise, which is the 80s cruise. And they always go out with 80s bands. So, like, you know, I don't remember who they had this year, but I know they get the old MTV VJs and all that stuff. And this year they're starting the 90s cruise. Ooh. So they're going to have the 90s cruise. And that is, I think, paired with the Comic-Con cruise that they're also starting. Mm-hmm. They're starting a Comic-Con cruise. Because I think George Takei, for whatever reason, is doing that cruise, but not the Star Trek cruise, which is whatever. So the and I think they're both shorter cruises. I think they're only 5-day cruises as opposed to 7. But still, I find that interesting that like the 90s and 80s like retro stuff is like all the rage. But yeah, I get it. I get it. It's fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, the 90s cruise has Lisa Loeb. I was like, oh, I love her.
And I do.
Exactly.
I will say, because of this con, for the next 2 days I'm at work, I'll be listening to nothing but 90s theme songs and music, all of that. And I will be, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Put some Lisa Loeb in there. And you know what the thing, I want to talk about her for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what she's eating and drinking, because that woman has not aged a fucking day.
Rob.
Who her surgeon is. What?
You've seen my photos. You've seen Danielle Fischel, okay?
Yeah, I know.
She still looks like she's 15.
I know. The cosmetic things they can do
according
these days,
to Bon,
amazing.
According to Bon Appetit, a lot of kale, almond butter, chocolate chips, and protein.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Lisa Loeb strikes me as somebody who eats healthy. She does. Mm. Yeah. So good for her.
My work,
it's all about the kale. I eat kale every day, and kale keeps me really skinny. Oh, so if you eat your kale every day, you too can be the picture of perfect health.
I never want to hear the uwu kale voice ever again in my life.
I will say I eat kale weekly because of the free lunches at work. It just keeps me regulated. That's what I have to say.
You know what? I wish that I had kale and everything at work, but they tend to either put peppers and stuff or cilantro and stuff or both. And I'm like, you don't put cilantro on a burger.
Sounds good to me, but I know it's a very divisive, especially cilantro does not taste like soap to me. It tastes very pleasant.
Well, it doesn't taste like soap to me either. It tastes like somebody's front lawn.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
Anyway, Rama, I'm glad to hear you had a good time at the 90s con. That sounds like a blast. Yeah, I'm happy there's more than just anime cons and stuff at this point. Not to knock the anime cons.
No, I think
this is a great thing to expand into for the con circuit.
But Rob, you do have a valid point, because, I mean, there are Doctor Who conventions as well.
In L.A. the, God, what do they call it? Dang it.
Regeneration Who.
No. Maybe there's that one, too. But there's one on the West Coast they just had. It's huge, and I can't remember the name of it. Dang it! Somebody in chat will yell it out. One of the Whovians in chat will name it out.
But there was some cosplayers. I mean, you had a couple of Disney princesses running around, because Jodie Benson and Linda Larkin were there. So, and I had to get a special autograph from Jodie Benson, because a friend of mine took his now wife on their very first date, which was
Pod Culture Gallifrey One. That's it, Gallifrey One.
That's it, Gallifrey One. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she signed like on art that he did, happy anniversary to the two of them. So I got to specially frame that and ship it to them. So it's a surprise for his wife. So
nice.
That's
really nice.
Yeah. They had like the usual stuff, like in the dealer's hall you find at most conventions, and end up buying a couple more pops. Mako didn't have Daria. So, you know, I had to add that to her collection, because it makes sense.
Of course, Daria.
I need a Daria.
All right, I tell you what. Next time I see one, I'll be at a con this week, and I'll pick it up and send it to you.
I love you forever.
I know, but like I said, this pop, the Topanga one, is like the nexus of my collection. Only because, not just the fact that us guys, great guys, had like the biggest crush on her. The way her character was on the show, it kind of gave me the direction of a type of person, type of woman I'd like to date. Someone that's nerdy, quirky, but it just opened my eyes to that. So it helped. So that's what, and I was telling her that, and I'm just trying not to like cry, but you know, but she thought it was like a really amazing story. So there's that. And when I was talking to Jody Sweeten, I gave her a Pikachu lanyard, because I discovered on Anime Jam Session, we were talking about one of the voice actresses, Ikui Otani, the voice of Pikachu, is the voice of Stephanie Tanner in Full House.
Oh, how funny.
And yeah, that I knew.
She knew that, and we spent like a good 5 minutes talking about Pokemon, when they went to Japan to do the pressers for Fuller House and whatnot.
I met her. I saw this picture on my Facebook. I met Jodie Sweetin at a Comic-Con, yep. Just a generic like WonderCon in Reno, Nevada.
I remember seeing that picture, and I was like, you lucky son of a bitch.
I went to Reno with a, unfortunately, ex-friend of mine, and we had a great weekend at the Reno, because it was a very Reno weekend. Yeah. So this is a good con, despite the fact that the memories are a little tainted now. But all the celebrities I met, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. So
I remember the good always outweighs the bad.
That's right. You remember the moment, not... Yeah, anyway. Yeah, well, Rama, I will always...
I'm downloading this clip and adding it to my voice reel.
I will always remember these nice moments where you call in and chat with us. I appreciate it. I hope folks will check out Anime Jam Session on Tuesday, because I'm sure you'll be talking more about the con. Good times.
Ronchan, what are you doing Friday?
I will be at a convention Friday.
Of course. Where are you going this weekend?
I will be at ZenkaiCon. Anime Jam Session kicks off their convention season by going out into the Amish country.
Yeah, ZenkaiCon. I've heard you talk about that one before.
Bring back a quilt.
Bring back some butter.
Don't tempt me, because I will.
Right.
You know how much those quilts are, though?
No, they take forever to make. That's why.
They're redonkulously expensive. No, have a fun time.
All right.
I have a proposition for like you and Rob later, and it's not that kind.
Oh, boy.
All right. I'm curious. All right. Well, Rama, for now, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for calling in. And always a delight to hear from you. Take care, my friend.
You too. Right. Most triumphant.
Bye. Excellent.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
All right. With that.
Ronchan is great.
I know. It's always a delight to hear from Rama and all of you that take the time to call into our show. VogNetwork.com/Discord. If you're shy and you don't want to talk, that's fine too. You can always send us an email. participate@orangeandroid.com. In theory, we have a Twitter. Y'all know how I feel about that place, but I do try to check in once. That's how I saw that Loki had hit a milestone. Was I saw a tweet when I was in the OLR account. So you can send us a tweet at OLR. We always appreciate those. Actually, I should look right now and see if we got any tweets. It's always a bunch of fucking spam these
I've
days.
Only been like on mine to post when I'm streaming and to like check on my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't see anything.
It's still accessible.
Yeah. Well, link in bio. All right. Anyway.
I was going to say on the Jeff Keighley story, I saw that he was pitching. Was it some sort of gamer smell thing? It's like a machine that makes smells for your games.
That never worked. That did not work in movies. It's not going to, except one. There was a John Waters movie that used it to this day. It wasn't Pink Flamingos. It was one of the other ones he did before Hairspray. Was it Female Trouble that used it? No, it was the one with Mink Stole and Tab Hunter. What was that fucking movie? Now it's going to bother me.
I love Mink Stole.
Well, every movie of his had Mink Stole.
I just said I love her.
I know. Dang it, I can't remember. Polyester, that was the movie that had the card. I had to look it up. Anyway, it was a bad idea in movies. It's a bad idea in games. The only movie besides Polyester, because that's kind of joking anyway, the only movie where the smell really does enhance the experience is Soarin' Over California. When they blast the scent of oranges when you fly over the orange grove. That is
All here know that it don't smell like that in real life. No. It smells like shit because of fertilizer.
No.
But and body sweat.
Did you see the clip? Apparently, so, you know, a few years ago, they changed Soarin' Over California to Soarin' Over the World, which is worse, by the way. But Soarin' Over California is back during the Food and Wine Festival. They actually had, there's a clip around Facebook, or I imagine it's on other social media too. Patrick Warburton showed up in person to do the intro for special group to do the whole, don't forget to close your seat belts and put these little beauties in the pouch under your seat.
I just want him to say a spoon.
So anyway, All right. Well, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in and supporting our show. We appreciate it. Hey, if you liked what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us tell a friend. Spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out here on air. So tell a friend. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Spotify, wherever you heard this. That goes an awful long way as well, and we appreciate it. We hope you all have a great week gaming, whatever you decide to play this week. We'll be back in 7 days to do it all again. Keep in mind, in 4 more episodes, we're going to hit a historic, it's literally a historic landmark in podcasting, which is weird to think about, but no other weekly video game podcast has hit 1,000 episodes. And so that's pretty wild. So I'm really excited about that.
Special.
And yeah, pretty special. So excited about that. So, all right. Anyway, let's get around and get everybody's final thoughts before we wrap it up for the night. Dark Sakura, I imagine you are back to streaming Dead by Delight tonight, which I've heard good things about the unknown. Apparently, it's the best original killer in a while, some are saying.
Yeah,
it's actually so kind of fun to play against.
It's so crazy that they took that awful, awful Wonka event and put something out of it. You know, the unknown was like, who's this character? And now it's in a game.
Now
it's
he's
crazy.
Known.
Now he's
but
known.
No one knows what it is.
And then Goth Meg. So now there's Boon Meg and Goth Meg.
No, well, yeah, but they're also besties, but we, of course, everyone knows that they're secretly in lesbians with each other.
All right. Well, have fun playing Dead by Daylight. We'll be tuning in a little bit here, but do you have a final thought for us tonight?
I'm going to try to adept this motherfucker.
All right. You got this. You can do it.
Later, taters.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Loki, your final thought tonight.
I got a lot of work to do. Got to get that theme park going.
Sounds good.
Keeps taking a long time.
My final thought tonight is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth soon. I think I'm going to give it one more week and then finally jump in on that. So since I finished the No Man's Sky expedition, I'm not sure what I'll stream this week, but you know, stay tuned. There'll be something. So twitch.tv, I'll probably catch up on, Lord knows I have a backlog big enough. There's a ton of things I could be playing. So we'll do something for this week and then I'll finally jump in on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and that'll be fun. So. Otherwise, I hope you all have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for being here at Orange Lounge Radio. Appreciate you all. We'll see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true.